We said that we worked with a guy on this station who has suffered badly from addiction in the past, and that person is Robin Banks. Thank you for coming on and chatting to us tonight, Robin.
Caroline, I had to call you.
Well, I'm pleased that you did call us, because there's a lot of people out there that have got a lot of questions that somebody in your situation may well be able to answer, so it might be the help that they need.
Well, listen, first of all, before I, when you gave me that little bit of a tease before the ad break, you said three radio stations I've been fired from. It's actually them all. So double that and double it again. It just seems like family members that you're talking to, and what I wanted to do, shout and just talk about, well, anything you really want to. You broached on a subject that addiction is a disease, and a lot of people think that, and some people don't think that. If you are a person that thinks addiction is a disease, then it's the only disease that tells you that you haven't got it. Whether it be alcohol, whether it be drugs, whether it be whatever, it will sit there and tell you that it's everybody else. There are 9 different forms of denial. And it's amazing that that little thing that's inside your head that is called your addict or the addiction will make excuses and tell you that your the amount that you consume isn't that bad, or it's just the same as everybody else, or whatever. So if you do believe it is a disease, it's the only disease that tells you that you haven't got it.
So what were you addicted to? Was it cocaine that you were addicted to, Robin?
Well, it was the cocaine that did it for me. But I think everything, anything that was there, I'd have. Luckily, it didn't ever go to needles or anything like that. But I started drinking quite young, and I always had the excuse. I mean, drinkers and people who are on drugs always have a fantastic excuse for doing what they're doing. You know, my football team won, so I'm going to go out and get drunk to celebrate. My football team lost, so I'm going to drown my sorrows. There's always an excuse, and my excuse very, very young was, I'm from Ireland. Everybody drinks in Ireland, and that's what I'm going to do. And then I got into radio and sort of media when I was quite young, and I thought that was the thing to do was smoke cannabis. You had a caller on about smoking cannabis. I started off smoking cannabis, and I did it because everybody else was doing it in my little group of friends. And there's this fallacy that cannabis isn't addiction. It's just a bit of smoke. You can't get addicted to that. Yeah, you can. And you know something? I remember my mum telling me when I was about 14 years old, she goes, you know, it leads to bigger things. And you know, before long, you'll be doing harder things. And I remember so clearly me saying, don't be ridiculous. Of course I won't be doing that. Bang, I did.
There's a lot of people here that are coming through tonight that are saying just that, though. It's fine. I smoke cannabis. It's fine. It's not going to lead on to anything else.
Oh, yes.
I'm quite happy doing this. It's just for a laugh. We're just doing it for a laugh. And there appears to be a lot of it around in schools as well. We've even had a text in from people that say, I don't think cannabis is that big a problem. When I was at school, I walked into the toilets and there were 3 boys snorting coke off the back of a toilet. I was 12 and they were 16-year-olds. This is going on in school.
Listen, when I went into rehab, let me get one thing straight. There's a lot, and I did this ITV interview a few weeks ago that was on in the region, and in fact, you did it. You know, you said beforehand, you know, I've sorted myself out. You know, Robin Banks is coming up. He sorted himself out. I didn't do it intentionally, because when I went to rehab, I didn't have a problem, Caroline. I 95% of me that was inside my head was going to rehab to save my career, because I'd done everything. I used every excuse in the book, and some nasty, horrible excuses. I used to make up the most bizarre reasons for taking days off work, and I used to have a day or two off every 2 weeks. And how dare anybody if they didn't believe what I said? Because in my head, it was true, and it is. That thing that's inside and, addict's head is stronger than they are. It is, and it will screw them over, and it will also screw their loved ones over. They don't care. I didn't care. You said that my girlfriend left me. Yes, she did. It was the only thing that she could do. At the time, I thought, how dare she leave me? It's all her fault. At the time when I was deep in it, it was everybody else's fault apart from mine. Everybody else had the problem, and it wasn't me, because that thing in my head was making me go on my own, and it's the closest thing to insanity that you can get without being locked up in a padded room.
So you went to rehab not thinking that you had a problem. Why did you go to rehab then?
What happened was, it was in May 2007. I left a radio station in London, left stroke, got fired from a radio station in London called Kiss 100. And I then got offered a job in Manchester, a station called Galaxy in Manchester. And they said, come on up, we'll give you two Sunday shows, one till four in the afternoon. Come on up and do whatever you want. So they said, we'll put you up in the Malmaison Hotel Friday and Saturday night. So I thought, oh, this is great. So I drove from my house in Surrey up to Manchester via my dealer's house. And I got myself 7 grams of cocaine. And I thought, I'll do all these and then I'll be fine, obviously, by Sunday, because I've got a couple of days. I didn't book into the Malmaison Hotel till 8 o'clock Sunday morning, and I'm on the air in 4 hours. I then, of course, I've just consumed a bunch of Class A drugs and I can't sleep. So I thought, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll drink the minibar dry. That'll help me get an hour or two sleep. It didn't. Then at 11 o'clock, I thought, oh, the best thing I can do is to get to know my producer a bit better. So I'll take him out for some beers at this time. It's Manchester and places are open. So I rang him up and we had some beers. I remember going on the radio at 1 o'clock and then I had blackout. I was on the air for 40 minutes. And the next thing I knew, I was standing outside the radio station. And I think I was, I went outside to do some, I don't know, some crazy radio phone stunt outside. I have no idea. And I can remember the boss of the radio station, who must have come in on a Sunday especially, coming up to me with my little box of tricks that I use for my radio show, giving that to me with this utter look of disgust on his face. And I drove home, went back to the hotel, drove home via my dealer again. And on a Monday, I switched my phone off. I didn't answer any calls. I had my agent ringing me going, what the hell are you doing? I just didn't want to deal with anything. On the Monday, I thought, I've really screwed this up. I don't know what can I do? So I went on the internet and I looked for, I thought I'd do a Jim Morrison and go to like the desert in Arizona and do rehab, because I thought that sounded quite rock and roll. I thought, but I've got to get out of the country. I've screwed it up so much. I've got to get out of the country. And if I get seen to be doing rehab, oh my God, how good's that? I can come back and everything will be fine. Oh, Robin's back. He's been to rehab. So I rang up. I couldn't find a place in Arizona to do me Morrison thing. And I found this place in Spain that I quite liked the pictures of. Couldn't focus on words. And I rang them up and I said, I am completely, I'm off my face now. Take my credit card number and my details. Take the money you want, because tomorrow, when I wake up and I'm clean and sober, I won't need. I used to have, just on a tangent, I used to have these things called my shower moments, where I'd be standing in the shower after a night or a really long sleep, and I'd be clean, sober, and I used to think, why do I take drugs? I'm never, ever, ever going to do it. And you know something? I meant it. I meant it 110%. 20 minutes later, I'm on the phone to my dealer again. When an addict, be it drink or drugs, says and admits, I'm never going to do this again, I'm never going to take drugs, I'm never going to drink again, they mean it. It's that thing in their head that it's insanity. It is like your gas fire at home. If you've got a gas, one of those gas hobs, and you turn it on full, you put your hand in and you get burned, and you take it out and you try and think, how am I going to put it back in again? I'll just put it back in again because I'm not going to get burned. But yet you do every single time. I booked myself into this rehab place in Spain, and I found, and then I flew out. And after like a day or two, I was the one that was in this place going, my God, I have got a problem. I couldn't see it. I you know, and you're completely right. I spent £50,000 in a year on Class A drugs.
Tell us, because, you know, a lot of people out there have had no dealings with drugs. I've never taken any drugs whatsoever at all. What does it feel like? What effect does it have on you when you take cocaine?
The first time I took drugs, yeah, it was fun. It was great fun. And, you know, I wish it stayed at that first time. And every addict will tell you, if you could have that one line, then it would be fine. But unfortunately, inside my head, I want to have it all. I was always the last one to leave the pub, the last one to do anything. It felt, towards the end, I hated doing it. I was doing it and racking myself out lines, and I hated doing it. I was not having fun. I was locked away in my house. It was the most horrible experience I've ever had in my... It was hell. But you know something, Caroline? I didn't have a problem in my head. I don't have a problem, even though I couldn't function. I wasn't eating for 3 days. You just... It consumes you, and you're doing something like putting your hand in a fire, getting burned, pulling it out and putting it back in again. That's insanity. And that's why your people that are calling and texting you saying, you know, my mum does it, and how can we get through to my brother? You're not going to. The only way you can get through to your brother or your mum or whomever it is to stop holding their hand and do what's called tough love. And, you know, it is so tough to actually do it, because the addict, it's really cut and dry. They've got three choices, and there is no other choices apart from these three choices. You can either lose everything, you can die, or you can get better. There's no other choice that you've got.
And if you hadn't have gone into rehab at that point, if you hadn't have gone up to Manchester and, you know, cocked that gig up at Galaxy and, you know, had the effects from that afterwards, so felt that you needed to call, where do you think you'd be now?
Oh, man, do you know something? I have no idea. I certainly would not be doing radio, because nobody would touch me. Even when I came back from rehab, I set up some companies, and even sort of getting back into radio, as you know, it's a small world and everybody knows everybody. I had the worst name, you know, don't hire him, he's on drugs. Well, actually, not anymore. So I have no idea. I'm probably dead, and I don't know how. I haven't been killed, died through this rubbish that I've done in the past 10 years. I just don't know. There's somebody looking out for me. I'm quite spiritual now, but not in a freaky way. And I believe, because I'm living proof that there is God, karma, or the universe. There's one of those things that I totally believe in. And it works. And you know something? It's actually, once you admit I've got a problem, there's actually, there's someone that you know, Caroline, and I know, and you know who I'm talking about, that what I do now is I try and help people. And the people that are fantastic to help are the people that are actually come to you or say, please help me, I can't stop. They're 95% of the way there. It's the people that, you know, that you try and get through to and go, look at your drinking, look at your drug taking, that you can't do. You've got to disassociate yourself from them. You've got to kick them out. You've got to make them see the consequences of their actions, because they're not going to do it. That thing inside their head will, once you pander to them, that thing inside their head will work you. Addicts are the most fantastic liars and the most fantastic actors that you will ever meet. They will make you believe that black is white. And if you say to them, hang on now, it's white, they will scream at you, how dare you say it's white, it's black. They will convince you anything.
Listen, Robin, it's great talking to you. Can we hold you there and hopefully get back to talk to you after the news? Because I want to find out what you go through when you're in rehab. Would you be okay to come back on after
sure.
the news?
Absolutely, okay. I'll be right here.
Sanctuary.
Thanks for coming back to us, Robin.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you.
It's weird being this side of it.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's weird having you there. I've got to be polite to you. I never normally bother. So we've been through the story of your addiction, and just to recap on that as well, you were spending over £50,000 a year on cocaine.
In my last year, I totted it up when I was in rehab, and it came to £50,000. I was spending more on drugs a day than I was on living, on like eating. I didn't care about you had someone on the phone that about half an hour ago that was talking about I don't know, was it their mum? Yeah, I can so relate to the fact that when you're in it, you actually don't care about anything. You just care where your next fix is coming from, where your next drink, where your next line, whatever it is your poison is coming from.
It's like in the case of the guy that was worried about his mum, you know, she'd had two burst ulcers and, you know, it was horrendous. There was blood everywhere. But still, even that and the thought that, you know, this could happen again and that it's going to seriously affect her health. Of course, it is doing that. It's not enough to make her realise that she needs to do something.
Nothing is enough. And you were talking about people who have had people die, friends of theirs die. There's a thing with the addicts who will always be, and you know something, Karen, there's people listening to this conversation now, if they haven't switched off because the addict inside their head, or switch it off, they're talking rubbish, they're not talking about you, who are thinking, yeah, but I'm different, it won't, I just do it for fun, I can stop whenever I want, which is the most fantastic thing that I hear. Yeah, I can stop whenever I want. Okay, then do it for a couple of weeks. No, because then there's always an excuse. There's always a reason.
So how many years were you addicted for? How many years were you going through this?
Oh, man, I think I was going through addiction in one form or another since I was 16 years old, except I didn't realise it. I was, you know, one of the forms of denial is when you convince yourself that, well, all my friends are doing it. I obviously haven't got a problem because I just drink or do as much as my friends. That's because we tend to hang around with people that, you know, if you hung around with people who, let's say you've got a drink problem, and when you go out and you're the last one to leave the bar that didn't, you know, your drinking buddies. I just drink as much as my drinking buddies. I can't have a problem. But it's when you start, and this is what I did towards the end. I was doing drugs, drinking, etc. in my house. I didn't go out.
You had a girlfriend. The relationship ended because of this, yeah?
Well, the relationship, yeah, she, I didn't know. What happened was I told her one day, I think I was gone on a 2-3 day bender, and I came back and I thought the only excuse I can tell her is to come clean. I think I've used everything else. So I told her, I said, look, I've got a cocaine problem. Just 9 months previous to that, I nearly screwed up my job, but I told them that I was an alcoholic because that addict in my head, I'd used all the excuses I could have possibly used for being late for work, for not being there certain days, the most bizarre excuses. And one day I thought to myself, I was on the train and I was late for my radio show. I thought, you know something, I've used every excuse in the book. I tell you what I'll do. I'll tell them that I've got a drink problem. That way they can't fire me, because how bad will that look? I gave up drink for 9 months, and everybody was saying, oh my God, you're doing so well. Well done. Little did they know I was banging Class A's up my nose and lying completely. Just to go back to what we were saying before the news, if you are going out with, if you're a loved one of somebody who you suspect, inverted commas, of being an addict, drugs, drink, whatever, please do not believe a word that they say, because I remember when I came clean with my girlfriend and said this, and I said, I'll get help. And I used to go to, you know, AA and CA meetings. CA is Cocaine Anonymous. I used to take drugs during them. I used to nip out to the toilet and have the odd cheeky line, and not take part. But, you know, I was doing something. I'm going to these meetings. I'm helping myself. Now I can see I was only fooling myself, and I can talk really openly about it now. And when people come to me for help, I tell them my story, and it's always the same. It's always, you know, there's always so many similarities there. It's uncanny.
And what did your girlfriend say it was like? What were you like as a person to live with? How did you change? What did you become when you'd taken cocaine?
Well, this is, I mean, I used to stay up at night because I had work to do, and so I'd stay up in my office, or I'd do whatever, but I was taking drugs. I became, you know, a lot of people think being on cocaine, you're all over the place and you're non-stop chatty. I was the complete opposite. I couldn't speak. I just went into myself and just could not look a person in the eye. It was terrible. She, in fact, well, we're since back together and getting married. I flew to Australia about 4 months after I got out of rehab. I rang her up one day from back in the UK. She'd left to go to Australia to be away from me.
Yeah.
And I rang her up and I said, what would you like me to do? And she said, I'd love it if you came down. I said, well, that's good, because I've booked a ticket and I arrive in Sydney in 30 hours. We're getting married on July 9th this year.
Well, now that is fantastic. And I know how excited you are about that, because I recently got married and we were talking about that. So, and if anybody's just joined us and you're wondering, yes, it is Robin Banks. People are like, is this Robin Banks? Yes, it's Robin Banks, our very own Robin Banks, talking about his personal situation. Did you ever come near to taking, I mean, because everybody always says, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, that, you know, like, there's a thing on from cannabis. You take cannabis and then there'll come a time that's not enough. So you go on to the next one. What's the next one, do you think, from cocaine?
I don't know, but I remember when I was in rehab, I was asked this. I mean, there was a lot of people, a caller you had on, said that's their brother stole from them. I don't know if, you know, I've never stolen to feed my habit, because I didn't need to, but I don't know if I would or not. And people who are on cannabis, or, you know, who haven't taken cocaine, like me, years and years ago, are adamant that I will never go on to anything like that. That's for mugs. Eventually, it's, you know, it could be there at a party, you've had a few beers, and you go, yeah, all right, I'll try that. So, you know, something, to be really brutally honest, I don't know if I would have ever done any. I mean, I'm a bit of a puss, really, and I'm a bit scared of needles, so I don't think I would have done that. But, you know something, I don't know. I can honestly say, I don't know. That thing inside your head might go, I'll go on.
Are you scared that one day you could be tempted to take it again?
Do you know something? It doesn't go through my mind anymore. I have got the most, ever since I came out of rehab, in a non-freaky deaky way, I've got very spiritual. Not that when you chat to me around the radio station, you could probably tell that. But I am living proof that, like I said to you, there, God, karma, universe, there's something out there that if you work at it. No, in fact, you don't even have to work at it. Getting clean and getting better is the most amazing experience I've ever had, and it was so easy. And I don't mean that in a flippant way, and, oh, look at me, aren't I great? But once you do the one thing, which I'm not saying nobody does, but hardly anyone does who's an addict, who's in that hell and is in denial completely, because that's what happens. You do get in denial before you get better. The one thing that I did was and in rehab, in sort of the second day I was in rehab, I thought to myself, here I am in rehab. Let's actually give this a shot. I'm going to be honest about everything. And I did. And it's the most freeing, wonderful experience. And now I live by three things. Honesty, which I try and do wherever I can in my everyday life and everything. Number two is spirituality, which wanes a hell of a lot. And number three is helping people who are in the position that I was. I do that it's not a plug for my website or anything, but I've got a website, it's robinbanks.com. There's a little contact form on there. And if you are in the position that I'm in, or that if you are in the position that I was in, or if you're a loved one, or you want to ask me some questions, fill in the little contact form. It'll email me. Put your number down there. I'll call you back. Because it's hell, and I know where you are. I've been there.
And I know that you do help other people, because you mentioned a friend of both of ours who... Well, actually, I don't know where he'd be, but he was in a very bad and a very dark place when I know that you took him under your wing and, sent him off to the rehab centre that you went to. And
he was, do you know something? He was, we mentioned him before the news, no names or anything, but he was easy. And I remember ringing him up, and I'd known of him, and I rang because there's another friend of, I don't know whether you know this girl, but a good friend of his got in touch with me and said that this guy is, you know, he keeps saying that he needs help and he's crying, and I said, give me his number, and I rang him up, and I went, it's Robin here, and he went, I said, well, are you all right? And he went, I don't know what's going on. I need help. And I said to him, mate, you're 90% there. If you know that you need help, and he didn't, you know, he didn't stop drinking. Drink was his poison right up until the day he went into rehab. But he hasn't touched a drop since, and he's got, you know, like everyone who does it has got, and it's amazing, because I used to go to like the AA and CA meetings, and I used to hear all this crap coming from these people going, my life is so much better than it is before with drink and drugs. And I used to sit there thinking, what a load of rubbish. Oh, what a load of rubbish. But I, like I said to you, I'm living proof that I've got the most beautiful, everything has just worked out, and it does. It's the most wonderful life I've got now, and it's just fantastic.
What do they do in rehab then?
A lot of people think, a lot of people ask me this, and when I was in rehab, I thought they want to change me. One of the loveliest things, my girl did, myself and my girl did an interview for the Mail on Sunday last year, and it's on my website. If you go to the press section, it's there. And one of the things that she said was, the interviewer asked her, has he changed? Because I thought in rehab they want to change me. It didn't take too long before I realised they don't want to change me at all. My way of thinking just altered a slight bit. She said in this interview last year for this newspaper, she said, do you know something? He hasn't changed a bit really, except he just doesn't take drugs anymore. And that's it. In rehab was the most, you know, I loved it. And even if you're not an addict, I think a six-week retreat where you actually are honest about yourself, because no one ever is. We all live this facade in our lives that we put on acts for different people. Whether you're an addict or not, everything's an act. Even when you meet someone, you're putting on more or less an act. And when you strip all that down and you look at yourself like you've never looked at yourself before, it's the most magnificent experience that I've ever had.
So people out there at the minute that are sitting there denying that they've got a problem, there's anything,
Caroline,
wrong.
There are people that are listening to this going, what a load of rubbish. We'd switch that off, and we've probably lost half of the addict audience that you've got.
So there's no getting through to them then until they want to do anything about it.
Do you know, if one person just goes, hang on a minute, Maybe I'll just see what this. Yeah, maybe I'll just see. I mean, can you imagine how degrading it is to ring up a rehab centre saying I need help? You just don't want to do it. You don't. It's the most degrading, horrible thing in the world. And with parents and loved ones, you don't want to be the person because that goes into work and says, "Oh, my boyfriend or mother or whoever's an alcoholic." It's got a stigma attached to it, which is nasty. But it's rock and roll. That's the way it goes. Die or lose everything. Choice is yours.
Well, look, listen, for those of you that are listening tonight and you do want to get help, remember the offer Robin made. If he can do anything to help you, he will. He's been through this, and so he does know the score. So what's your website again, Robin?
It's robinbanks.com. That's that. And listen, even just drop me, just drop me an email, and it's in total confidence. And if you are there going, "Oh, I'm not going to do it, he'll never get back to me," I will. And, I have been in the fetal position, crying my eyes out, wanting to die, thinking, what is going on? I hate this. I'm not some voice that, that's coming on going, "Aren't I great?" I've been there in hell, nearly losing everything before I dived myself out of it. And it wasn't for the fact of I said I need help. It was the fact that I was running away that I went to rehab.
Well, listen, I hope that people haven't all switched off, that, as you say, even one is going to take that and get in contact with you and do something about it.
Right. That's no problem. I'm off for a drink now.
Hot chocolate. Hot chocolate. That's all that you can have. Well, listen, thank God. Thank anything that you got back and you have come back to us, and you're here every evening between 7 and 10 presenting an absolutely fantastic show. And
Nice plug. Thank you.
It all works, doesn't it? It's all come back round. But he is brilliant. He is great. And you know what? The best thing about this guy is he's real. And you can find him on this radio station every night at 7 o'clock. So, check him out if you haven't already. He's quite tasty too. So, we'll throw that in as well, Robin. Okay?
Thanks. All right. I need the audience.
Have that one. All right, darling. Thank you very much for coming on, and thank you for bearing your soul like that.
See you later.
Take care. Bye-bye, Robin.
See you tomorrow. Bye. The Sanctuary.